Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Of course, the story of the day, in fact, the story of the moment, is the appointment of the new Minister of Higher Education, Budiman Amela, who has been a Deputy Minister for a while in that portfolio. And we have got also the incoming Deputy Minister of Higher Education, Dr. Nomusa Dube, as well, who also was appointed this evening. Unfortunately, unverified reports also coming through that her house, unfortunately, this evening has been torched. The ANC has not yet confirmed those reports, but footage has come through to news houses, showing us that her house is on fire. And I'm sure, the emergency services have been able to respond to that. But the point is, that is not good news. That is not good news at all. Sending all kinds of terrible signals about what is happening politically in KZN, and just the fact that she's just been announced as the Deputy Minister and that happens is unfortunate, and someone needs to account for that. Of course, we'll obviously keep you posted. Of course, we'll obviously get to the nub of the issue as the news trickle in. But congratulations obviously are in order for Budiman Amela, who is now the Minister of Higher Education, and her Dr. Nomusa Dube, who also is the incoming Deputy Minister of Higher Education. Of course, we get here because of all kinds of things that have happened in that portfolio with the outgoing Minister of Higher Education. Now, you may remember that the DA themselves have been calling for the sacking of the Minister of Higher Education for all kinds of reasons. We have been following that story for a while. And in fact, at some point, there were questions on whether the ANC was sort of, changing their mind and their stance on how they felt about her. The final straw, in my view, I think, was last week, Friday. She was supposed to appear before the Portfolio Committee, and she did not go to that meeting. In fact, we are told that she actually sent a message to the chair of the Portfolio Committee excusing herself, saying she has got an engagement and therefore she couldn't come. But that message went to the Portfolio Chair in the evening, saying she wouldn't be coming the following day. And so that meeting the Portfolio Committee still sat in for a meeting, and there was massive debate about how to deal with this matter. Of course, then later on today, just after 6 o'clock, that the message coming from the presidency announced that she is now going to be leaving, and the minister has announced the incoming minister as Budiman Amela. I want to get reaction from yourselves as well. 086-000-00959. You can send a voice note on 063-688-0959. Karabo Khakhao is a DA spokesperson who sits in that portfolio committee. She's been calling for the sacking of the minister. Karabo, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. Thank you so much for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
Your reaction to the sacking of the minister?
This was a celebratory moment for the people of South Africa, Uthman. The people of this country have always deserved more than Nobu Shengaban. They deserve more than a minister who lies, one who appoints a favorite, caters, a tragic case of ANC cater deployment here, to lucrative positions of board seated chairpersons. A seated space that is already underperforming, that young people of this country do not relate to or do not know the effect of their job. This amidst unemployment crisis that we have amongst young people in this country. So we deserve a minister who's going to be in higher education, who's going to ensure the meaningful rollout of the CETA's mandate in itself in upskilling young people and giving them opportunities to put food on the table for themselves and their families. We also deserve a minister, as young people of this country, who's going to transform this class. Young people are going to bed hungry across private colleges, across the university. The infrastructure altogether at universities, CET colleges and TVET colleges is deplorable. Student accommodation is a mess. People are homeless. And those who do have homes, the quality of student accommodation there is a mess. some are defunded in the middle of the year, their futures shattered without no hope or any explanation of why they were defunded altogether. The National Skills Fund is in tatters. It's a mess. There's corruption all over there. So we've always maintained as the Democratic Alliance that our fight in government and in parliament will be to root out corruption amongst the ranks of cabinet, particularly as far as it concerns ANC cadres who are deployed on the basis of nothing else than loyalty and patronage. Nobuhle Nkabane is one of them. So we're glad she's gone, but we're not done fighting. Mm-hmm. We still have Thembisa Melane there. We still have David Makhob. We still have Khumbudzo Ntshavheni. Those people must go. We still also need to settle the question marks around Senzo Mkhumo as well. So for as long as we do not have a fully detoxed cabinet, detoxed of corruption, the DA will not rest.
You wanted her to face, that is Dr. Nobuhle Nkabane, you wanted her to face the Integrity Committee. Where are you with that? What does that then mean for you right now as a DA?
Ethics must still deal with her. The public protector must still deal with her. The affidavits that I, on behalf of the DA, submitted to both the Ethics Committee of Parliament and the public protector still stand. So does the case that I, on behalf of the DA, opened against her for fraud and a statutory offence under Section 27 of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act 4 of 2004. The Hawks are investigating now, and she must be able to face the full music of the law. She committed fraud. She committed a statutory offence. She committed a criminal offence by lying to Parliament about the process that she followed in appointing Speaker Chairperson. Let alone the fact that she thought it made sense to appoint cadres to CETA board, whose only qualifications, as far as merit of a track record of service are concerned, is loyalty to the ANC. That is problematic. In the same way that Tony Engeni in the early 2000s was able to face the music for lying to Parliament, we want to see the same for Nobuhle Nkabane.
I really appreciate your time this evening, DA spokesperson Karabo Khakhao, who has been calling for the sacking of the minister, and it has happened this evening. And as she says, you know, the processes can still continue. The Ethics Committee can still continue with its investigation. Now, she makes a very important point, because whether she sits in that portfolio as a minister or not, she can, if proven that she had lied to Parliament, she can face jail time. And Karabo just mentioned this, we know, because it happened with Tony Yengeni as well. So it's not unlikely that even though she may not be sitting that portfolio, anything can happen, and she may find herself going to jail if found guilty. I do want to get these students to also react to the news. The president of the South African Federation of Students, Gamogetswe Masike, is on the line with us. A very good evening to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Oscar Mello. Good evening to your listeners, and thank you for having us this evening.
Perhaps your initial reaction to the news of the outgoing minister and the incoming minister, Butimana Mela. What's your reaction?
Long overdue resignation by Dr. Nobuhle Nkabane. Initial said it's a victory for all students that are enrolled in our universities and TVET colleges that have called upon for their resignation. Last time we spoke here, when you invited us, we had went to the Department of Education to submit a memorandum of our concerns that pertain to the dysfunctional and NSFAS, issues that pertain to our education, where our students were having problems of accommodation, late payments, and all of that. So, in actual fact, we are celebrating this week that it is indeed long overdue. President Ramaphosa has done what has long been a call for everyone, students and parents as well, who have been reaching out to us, as student leaders, that the minister is too arrogant. She has a condescending attitude. She pretends as if, she has everything in touch, and yet she has failed dismally, to lead the education sector. So indeed, Butimana Mela as well, our reaction on him is that he's not new. He was also part of the ministry under the field ministry of Dr. Blade Nzimande. So we hope that this is not a return of Blade, because we said it before, Osprey, that when the head coach is failing, the assistant coach must take over. So we saw what happened during Dr. Blade Nzimande's tenure, where issues of our education where, you know, we were still having problems. The NSFAS board got to be dissolved. CEOs and board chairpersons were implicated in corruption and maladministration, in particular appointments that pertained to direct payments, service providers, and all of that. So he's not new. We are not going to, you know, allow him to adjust. Yeah, I think he understands the complexities and dynamics of education as a whole, and we are only giving him 2 weeks to respond to some of these problems that black students in particular have raised in their education sector.
And so are you, you know, I'm not sure I understand how you necessarily feel about the incoming minister. Are you, you know, are you optimistic about the appointment, or how do you feel about it?
No, we are content, Ospemelo. I think we are content. One, Buti is not new. He was there. He understands the education sector. He led the ministry with Dr. Blady's mandate, like we just said. So he's not someone that, you know, must be given ample time to adjust. I think with Nobuhle, we were very patient with her. We said that Nobuhle must be given time to adjust. She must be given time, you know, to understand some of these dynamics that happen in the sector. But even in our attempt to engage her, she was hostile to those engagements. We have written countless letters to her department, to her office, to a point that we even requested Parliament to intervene, you know, as an oversight body, you know, to get her attention to some of our problems. But she became too arrogant. In actual fact, last week she attempted to embark in a PR exercise where she marched with Safeta in a gender-based violence march, of which, you know, gender-based violence is a very sensitive issue, but we felt that the minister is trying to do damage control because student formation, students have united against her call to resign. So we're saying that we will give Buti Manamela 2 weeks, you know, to rigorously deal with some of these pressing issues. Because as we speak, Ospemelo, the NSFAS crisis remains a problem. Students, as we speak, others have not returned to their universities as a result of late payments. Service providers have not been paid. Accommodation providers have not been paid. And these students now cannot, you know, engage in academic activities as a result of those particular issues. So we will also be writing to the to this incoming minister about our dissatisfaction, also around the CEO of NSFAS, Wasim Karim, who also feel that he is not also capable in leading that particular institution, because we've also tried to engage NSFAS at Cape Town. We met with the CEO of NSFAS relaying some of these problems. So it's not a personal fight. We've never waged a personal fight against anyone, but we've fought on principle that the Minister of Higher Education, the department in particular, must service black students and the youth of South Africa.
So for you, I mean, I know the NSFAS issue is a priority, but, you know, what would you like the minister, incoming minister, to focus on immediately for you in the immediate term?
Payment must be resolved. Late payments that have not been paid to students in particular, the allowances, meal allowances, the accommodation allowances. We're having a problem of the TVET cycle where students, you know, the funding of students was channeled to TVET colleges, and those students are currently enrolled in institutions of higher learning. Universities are too less, Ospemelo, not to deal with that particular issue. When we met with NSFAS, they said to us that they are waiting for Treasury to allocate funds for those particular students, because we said that failure for that particular issue to be resolved, these students are bound to face what we call financial and academic exclusion come 2026. So we are hoping that part and parcel of you know, their solutions that we provided in our memorandum of grievances, they get to be resolved just before exams, because these students are about to embark now on exams. The second semester has started, but exams will be commencing soon. So we want those particular issues to be resolved. The funding question, where during the academic year, where you find thousands of our students being defunded, that proper justification must come to an end. The eviction of our students, where students will just be evicted during the night, must come to an end. The late payments, where students would stay months and months without receiving meal allowances, must come to an end. the theft and the corruption that is happening at NSFAS must come to an end. The irregularities that happen to appointments of these companies, these service providers that provide services to our universities and our students must come to an end. The levies that are being paid to these service providers are exorbitant and are being deducted unlawfully from the already insufficient allowances of our students must come to an end. The board appointments at NSFAS, where there's no consultation of stakeholders and there's no representation of student leadership, must come to an end. We also want to form part of the criteria that is always used in appointing some of these people, because we don't believe that the merits that are used to appoint these people are proper merits and are sound merits that we have to speak to, who is a credible person that can be entrusted to lead those that particular institution. So we're having a lot of demands and intertwined or having solutions to these particular issues. So we hope that the Manamela, as they return, a minister who is not new, by the way, will give us we're willing to collaborate with him, we're willing to present some of these issues to him. But one thing that he must not be arrogant, because 2 weeks is enough. Failure for him to attend some of these issues, he will not last.
President of the South African Federation of Students, Giamogetso Masike, their reaction to the appointment of the incoming Minister of Higher Education, Buti Manamela, as well as the Deputy, Dr. Nomusa Dube Ncube, who also is going to be now the Deputy Minister of Higher Education after the sacking of Dr. Nobuhle Nkabane. This story has been developing for some time. You know that various political parties have been asking for her to step down, and the president finally this evening made that call. So I do take your reaction as well. I'm very looking forward to your comments on this one on 086-000-0959. You can also send a voice note as well on 063-688-0959. What do you make of the appointment? What do you make also of the sacking? Love to hear from you.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Well, thanks so much for staying with us. We continue to take reaction on the appointment of the Minister of Higher Education, Buti Manamela. On the line with us is the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education, Deboho Letsie. Thank you so much for making time for us. Ntate Letsie, thank you for indulging us. Your reaction to the appointment of the new minister?
Well, as the Portfolio Committee chairperson of Higher Education and Training, I take pride in welcoming Honorable Buti Manamela as the new Minister of Higher Education and Training. I think Honorable Manamela would have been a deputy minister for a long time in the sector, and we understand the challenges, the plights, the capacity and the potential of the sector in igniting the economic spin-offs that the sector can produce. So we welcome his appointment. We really appreciate what the president did today. We look forward to working with the new Minister of Higher Education and Training.
Will Dr. Nkabane still remain Member of Parliament?
I wouldn't know, Pimela, because our duty as members of Parliament, I mean, if somebody remains a Member of Parliament, which is the same position that I would have, I wouldn't know whether she would take. She has few options available for her. She can remain as a member of parliament. If she has not been appointed to be a minister or deputy minister anywhere, and so I do not know what she has decided to do. But all I know is that now that she's no longer the Minister of Higher Education and Training, the work that we were doing in trying to find out whether she misled Parliament on the appointment of senior chairpersons, that work now ceases to happen, because she's no longer the Minister or the Deputy Minister of Higher Education. She's not the member of our committee anymore. Therefore, we'll restart the process afresh.
So obviously, I'm not sure if you were able to hear the DA spokesperson, Karabo Khakhao, who said that she expects that she still has to be facing the ethics committee. I'm not sure whether you disagree with that.
No, I did not hear what the DA said, but if Nobuhle Zwelithini is no longer a member of parliament, then what ethics committee will she be facing? But look, I don't have a problem with what the DA will say, except that sometimes they say a lot of things that do not make sense. I mean, last week on Friday, if you have listened, they said that Director General of the Department of Higher Education must come before the Ethics Committee. I mean, they don't know. I mean, it's just a political statement that they make. The Director General is not subjected to come before the Ethics Committee because he's not a member of Parliament. But I will not be surprised if indeed they said that they said that because they have some level of understanding of how the rules work. They don't read much on the rules. They are just, they're just busy with political statements instead of dealing with their real issues.
Let me take this opportunity to ask you if you are aware of the incident that took place at Dr. Nomusa Dube Ncube's home. And I'm not sure that you know, but I really just wanted to get to somebody who knew what has happened. We are told that her house has been torched. Perhaps maybe let's start with your reaction to her appointment as deputy minister. And if you know anything about that incident.
I don't know anything. I'm actually at the airport currently. I was traveling. I just landed now, just after 8:30. Mm. So I will not know. And when I landed, I took a number of interviews. This is my third interview that I'm doing since landing. So I don't know if of any torching of Dr. Nomusa Dube's home. If that would have happened, I mean, that is barbaric. People, the police was investigate and arrest those people who would have done this thing to Dr. Nomusa. I mean, myself, I'm raised by a single mother. Imagine if tomorrow my home has been torched and my mother is inside the house. I can't explain what would have what her family would have went through. As far as what is my reaction to her being appointed as the deputy minister, we welcome. I mean, I'm sure the president and those who are trying the president would have applied their minds. I mean, Dr. Nomusa, who was the premier of KwaZulu-Natal, did extremely well. I mean, under the very difficult political situation in KwaZulu-Natal, she did extremely well. She performed very well. She delivered on the mandate when she was the premier there. So we believe that we are going to work very well with her, making sure that we deliver to our people who are subjected to challenges of not receiving allowances of NSFAS, NSF allowances, our people not being paid who are in student accommodation, who subject our young people to all kinds of abuses, including sexual favors, because the landlords would not have received, their payments. So we are looking forward to working very well with Dr. Nomusa Dube.
I appreciate you talking to us this evening, and I know I take note of the fact that you've just come out of an aeroplane and you've been busy juggling interviews. Thank you very, very much for taking our call today.
I flew. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education, Tebogo Letsie, there.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.